The other thing I want to say is our next series of teaching starts on the 3rd of October, and that is the Book of Revelation Revealed, and you've got a flyer here. And as I said in Sunday morning church yesterday, we're so glad to have David Pawson with us via video link. They all got excited when I said that yesterday. And that'll be a great series. And if you can join us for that, that's on a Tuesday evening. And that will run as a series, an 11-week series. And you know, we put these things on so that we can grow. This is what it's about, isn't it, as a church? And we want to grow in the Word. We want to grow in faith. And also, we want to grow in knowledge, but we want to grow in experience as well, because we want to really taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? And we want to really not just believe we are a New Testament church, but my prayer is, my vision is, that we will really, really be a New Testament church by practice as well. Amen? And see some wonderful things happening, not just within the fellowship, but outside the fellowship. You know, people coming to know the Lord, the kingdom of God expanding. So this is all part of it. This is why we do what we do. This is why we're here, So let's just enjoy tonight. And I'm sure the Lord will bless us. Brian's going to lead us in some worship, but I'd like us first of all to stand and pray. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm going to ask Patrick to come and pray. Come on, Patrick. I need a big guy tonight to pray. Bless you. Patrick's a lovely guy. His wife's not bad either.
Bless you, dear brother. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that we can come together and just be in your presence and just worship you, Lord. We just thank you for the fact that we can learn from each other and that we have wonderful leaders and wonderful people who can reveal your word to us, Lord. I just pray for the evening that you just reveal things to each and every one of us, and I really think it's going to be a fantastic evening. I feel it in my spirit, Lord. I just thank you for this, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's been a great joy to be with you these last couple of weeks, and I've really enjoyed being with you, just sensing the Spirit of God moving among you. I just have to say, you know, that I might have said this on a previous occasion, it's great when the enemy's interested in what we're doing, isn't it? Must mean we're doing something worthwhile. You wouldn't know this, and he wouldn't say it, but when Ian came last week, he arrived at my house. He works in Cambridge, and he kind of spent the night with us last Monday night, but he arrived straight from work, and he said, "John, I've just got a bit of a problem. I moved house on Saturday, and my notes and my Bible are in a box somewhere." So anyway, so he arrived here like that, and you know, I quickly got a Bible for him so that he could just draw things together. But it's been like that. We've just traveled down today from the Peak District, and we're just staying with our daughter and family. And it was all fine, wasn't it, until we got just down, everything's wonderful, until we get to Needham Market and the A14's completely blocked. So we went all round Ipswich and down all sorts of roads I never knew existed. But anyway, we're here now, and praise God for that. Incidentally, I mentioned Ian, he sent through to Anita a few more copies of his book, so they're available. Anita has them. Hi, Anita, and I just want to say to you, Anita, thank you so much for dealing with all my last-minute emails and things. But as we start tonight, can we play that piece of music, Brian? Are we set for that? Just be very... I want you, when the music starts, it'll run for about 2 minutes, just to close your eyes, okay? God wants to take us higher and higher. God's Spirit is upon us, taking us to new areas of His love and depth. The next 5 years are more significant than the previous. God has never loved you like He loves you now, and He's never loved you less. God was with you at that moment of your conception. There are no accidents in our Father. Our Father loves us and nourishes us. Our Father builds us up. Our Father would have us soar with wings as eagles. He would lift us up above the storm, and He would say to us, "My children, know my love and grace. Know that these days are special days in my grace, days of opportunity, days of fresh exploration. You are my dear children." Cut it there, Brian. Thank you. That's from a piece of music, City of Gold, and I said on the opening evening here that, you know, what a wonderful job has been done by this church in featuring so many things over the years, and I said then it's been a source of refreshment for so many. But that particular musical, I just by the grace of God, we had a little bit of a hand in that in the 1990s. We were pastoring a church down in the southeast, and City of Gold, I think it's had its inaugural performance down in Staines. Somebody said to me last week, "You've never said where you're from." Well, I'm part of the church in New Frontiers, Kingsgate Church, and there's two brothers with me tonight, Simon Shorten and Nick Bolton, who are also members there, and I'm just thrilled that both Nick and Simon can be here tonight. They're on a journey in prophecy, as you all are, and we all are. We're living at a very exciting time. You know, we cannot go into fullness until we reclaim what the early church had. One of the hallmarks of the early church was its joy and its generosity. It says in Acts 2 that there was a sense of awe, and that sense of awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles. And we must never forget here in 2017 that Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do them. Even greater things will they do than these, because I'm going to the Father." And, you know, we praise God for every evangelistic outreach. I can remember the days of just about of Haringey and Billy Graham and Louis Palau, and now, of course, your good friend Jay John and his outreach in football stadiums. But I believe that God was also talking about the miraculous things. He was also talking about the manifest of His Spirit upon every aspect of life. Greater things than these. You know, when we know who we are and who we're meant to be, we will never want to be anyone else. And I don't come here tonight in a sort of a sense of complacence, but I do come in a spirit of saying, by the grace of God, I know who I am, I know who I'm meant to be, and I'm happy in that. Somebody said to me, "Well, how would you describe yourself?" And I would say, simply say this, that I believe I minister in the gift of helps. That's all I want to do, is to help other people to reach their goal. And I'm very happy to stand back while they do that. But that is, I know what God's put on my heart, to be that ministry of helps. Nothing is bigger, nothing is greater than the Holy Spirit in us. 1 John 4:4 says this, "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." And Smith Wigglesworth had written in his Bible, 10,000 times greater. We read in Proverbs 19 that as a man thinks, so is he. So the more I think about myself, the more like me I'm going to become. But the more I think about Jesus, the more I think about him, the more like him I become. One of the things we need to do, and it won't be a long word from me tonight, but one of the things we need to do as prophetic people is to ensure that we are using the right lenses. In Kingsgate, we've got three opticians as members of the church. So if you need your eyes tested, it's a good place to be. But there is a sense, whether we're wearing specs tonight or not, there is a sense in which we all wear spectacles. Circumstances color how we see things. But as prophetic people, we have to see things so, so differently. We have to use a new lens. I love that account in the beginning of John's Gospel where he's calling his disciples to himself. And you've got this incident where Philip goes to call Nathanael. And he says, you know, come and see this man. Let me just read it to you for a few moments and you'll grasp exactly what I'm saying. In John 1:31, he says, come and see this man. And he describes him as Jesus of Nazareth. It's 45. John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus from Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael answered him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip replied, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, here is an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, no deceit, no duplicity. Nathanael said to Jesus, how do you know these things about me? Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were still sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Now, I just say that because that's a very quick lens change there. And that's the world, all desperate. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And yet within seconds, we find Nathanael saying, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. We need to be people, I'm not into teaching about positive thinking, but we need to be people who are thinking positively. I think I drew attention in the first week that I was here to John on the island of Patmos, you know, where he's in this penal colony breaking up rocks simply because he will not bow the knee to Caesar. And then he hears that voice, doesn't he? He says, you know, come up here and I will show you what must take place in the future. And I remember sharing, John says, he came and he sees, and he sees that the throne of heaven is occupied. We need to have spiritually discerning eyes. And sometimes God in his grace just says to us, he just says, Brian, Trevor, John, whatever, just come up higher that you may see things as I see them. Bill Johnson is fond of saying that God, if I quote him, I know there's somebody here who's been over to Reading a couple of times, God does not dwell in reality. That's a bit unkind to Bill's accent, but what he is saying, Bill Johnson is saying, and Bill Johnson's one-liners are superb. He says this, God does not dwell in reality as you see reality. He's over and beyond that. And whatever circumstance we've brought into this room tonight, God is already there. God already has his hand upon every situation. One final thing, and then we'll move on to something else. In 2 Kings 6 and verse 8, I won't go through all of this, but this is the account of Elisha, but it's a great teaching, this one, before the king of Syria. The king of Syria has plans to invade Israel, but Elisha seems to know the very thoughts of the king's heart. This thought, well, is there a spy in the king's bedroom? And it's agreed that they will send an army to surround Elisha. He's now residing at Dothan. And Elisha sends his servant out. And his servant comes back and says, "Alas, master, we're surrounded." But note what happens. Both men, Elisha and the servant, see the same things. But they process it in totally different ways. One sees with the natural eyes, and his understanding becomes full of fear and worry. But Elisha, processing life in the realm of the Spirit, has learned the discipline of living in the Spirit. Now, please, I'm sure you're not, don't be put off by any of this. You know, we're told Elijah was just as we are, no different also with Elisha. It's the same God. We have the same opportunity. And the key, my friends, if I can leave one thought tonight, is to continue or to begin to process life in the Spirit. I can't tell you how important that is. When things go wrong, and they do go wrong, to be able to process it and say, "It's okay. God is in heaven. My Father knows. He's loved me with an everlasting love." And so Elisha says, "Father, would you please open his eyes?" And his eyes are opened. And he says, "I see there are more of us than there are of them." That's a truth. But as prophetic people, we need to be living in that more and more. Some of you may have already read Ian's book or seen it, you know. But, you know, angelic appearances and things like that. It's all available to us. Very quickly, my second heading tonight, and I'm just going over one or two things that we have touched on, but the character of the New Testament prophet. Now look, I know, hear me, love me. If you don't agree, it's okay, we'll love one another. But I don't think in this day and age there's room for the doom and gloom prophet. That is the Old Testament. It says, you know, at the end of Malachi, that Elijah will come, and that was John the Baptist. In one sense, John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. We are sons and daughters of the new covenant. Amen. And as we saw on our opening session together, the things that characterize our prophecy are encouragement, exhortation, and comfort. EEC. That has to be there. So we have to bring the love of Jesus. Rose and I have got a good friend, and he puts out a prophetic paper every 3 months. And I say this, we love him. We really do love him. But boy, do we disagree. It's always the whole thing of this prophetic thing is that God is waiting to hammer Britain. Well, do you know what? Those who are feeling hammered are hammered. Please understand, God wants to bless. He wants to bless. He sent his only son to die that we might live and rose again. And that is the heart of Father. This isn't cheap grace, but this is grace in its fullness. And as prophets, and we're going to all, you know, in some measure tonight, going to be prophesying, but we're going to do it with encouragement. A person, you know, that I really like, I think it's Rick Joyner who said, he said this, what must characterize our prophecy must be peace. You know, my wife was talking to a lady in Stowmarket this week, and she was prophesied over recently at some gathering, and she was deeply troubled. That should not be the effect of New Testament prophecy. You may have a question, but not deeply troubled. There should be a sense of peace. And we have, you know, an understanding. Let me just, you know, just draw this section to a conclusion, because I remember years ago, one of my best friends is a pastor in Phoenix in Arizona. And a brother I was having quite a lot of trouble with in the church about 25 years ago prophesied over my brother who's pastoring in Phoenix. And he just said this, wait for it, "I don't know what this means." Well, if you don't know what it means, could you find out before you give it? It would be helpful. He said, "I don't know what this means," but he said, "I've got this whole thing of a phoenix rising." You know, it's not brilliant, is it, when the man comes from Phoenix to tell him the... Anyway, of this creature, you know, rising from ashes, and there's soot and there's dust and there's flames everywhere, but God just wants you to know he's in it. Well, and do you know what my friend, you know, my friend who's, you know, he's a senior pastor in the States, he said to me, "John, who was that guy?" And I said, "Oh, sorry about that." He said, "Well, in those days, do you remember the days, even in charismatic churches, we met on Sunday nights? We met on Sunday evenings, and we had good congregations," and he's there. And so Richard says to him, says, "Oh, Pete, come over. Your name's Pete, isn't it?" He says, "Would you just say in front of your pastor," that's me, "what you said this morning? Because he didn't understand it, and I didn't." So he says it again. And he says, "Do you understand?" He said, "No, I've no idea, but that's what I thought God said." So Richard, my friend, just said, "God did not say." Because the three of us, to have no understanding of what it's all about, all I'm going back to the States is that you think everything I'm involved in is going up in flames. So he said, "Sorry." But incidentally, he wasn't put down cruelly. But I mean, seriously, we must leave an impression of Jesus when we prophesy. Next thing I quickly wanted to say in wrapping things together, to use the tangible. What I mean is objects. I don't know whether this helps at all, but when I was in the Netherlands 2 years ago, we were at a Dutch church, but it was a time of preparation for people who were going out to plant churches. And there was to be a prophetic session, and I felt God just say to me, "Go for a walk and pick some things up." So I went for a walk, you know, and I came back looking like Harvest Festival, you know what I mean? But I'll never forget, and I'm just saying, don't be afraid to do this. I think it's at the end of Ezekiel 37, you've got the Valley of Dry Bones at the beginning, and then you've got the coming together of Judah and Israel, and there's this sense of Ezekiel's talking about the two sticks coming together, and there'd be a binding together. And I just want to tell you something lovely that happened. And I'm standing there with these two sticks. Funny enough, I saw the guy only this week when I was in the Netherlands. And he said to me, he reminded me, he said, we, "My wife and I have never forgotten that time, the prophetic time." And I could well remember it because I just said, there was the lady here and the man here, and I just said, "I don't know quite where to go with this, other than I know where this is leading, but I just sense that there's a whole sense of..." I did know they were engaged. I said, "There's a whole sense in which you're just going to help people to come together." And so he said to me, "John, do you know we're getting married on Saturday?" So I said, "No, I'd no idea, but I knew you were boy and girlfriend or whatever. But I just said, there's a sense in which you're going to come together and you're going to help other people to do that." Well, they've been married 3 years now and they've got a ministry helping other married couples. And I, you know, simple things. And then there was another couple that was quite an occasion for me. And I remember going to the window with this couple, and I just said, "Look, I can't get over the fact that on my walk I see three fields that have been tended to by the farmer, and there's one lying fallow." And I said, "God's just giving you new territory, new land. You're going to turn things around. There's something that you've been expecting and hoping for. And God is going to deliver that tangible thing to you. Now, I saw them this year, and they said, do you remember you saying this? And I said, yes, I do. And they said, well, you didn't know, but we've been longing for a baby. We've just been longing for this fallow ground in our lives to become fruitful, and we now have a baby daughter. Now, I mention this for one reason. Okay, you know, when I prophesied with them, I did not mention baby. Never, ever prophesy over anyone about getting married. No, seriously, don't. Personally, I wouldn't prophesy over babies. But if you really do feel something very strongly, check it with one of the elders in the church and do it privately. And agree to become accountable. Be accountable. We're going to cheapen the whole of the life in the spirit if we've got prophets going around everywhere giving words that don't happen. We must be accountable. Okay, nearly done. Okay, what have we got? Things to be wary about. Okay, well, you know, that's just a little bit. I've got one or two things to say a little bit later, but that's just wrapping things together. Right now, I want to introduce my friend Simon. Simon Shorten. Have we got a mic there, Trevor? Or not? Oh, yeah. Thanks, Brian, very much. Thanks, Beth.
Simon, come. Yes. There has been absolutely no rehearsal in any of this. And first of all, Simon, is there anything on your heart for the meeting tonight? Anything you just want to share?
Gosh, yes. John asked me to come and join you this evening. I was really, really honoured actually, because you know, John said we're on a journey, and you're on a journey, and I'm most certainly on a journey. So I'm really just sort of sharing from my own heart, my own experience, and my own. My own failings as well, and I think that's one of the things that I would really encourage. I mean, Nick and myself, we're very fortunate. We're in a church together with John and Rose, and we have a culture there where we are encouraged, really encouraged to grow. And to seek God for our giftings, and to try them out, actually, because that's been my experience. And I've been encouraged that if I get it wrong, that's fine. It's okay. Pick yourself up and carry on. You know, John, you'll know I've certainly made mistakes. I'm not, yeah, Nick, I've made mistakes. But I've been encouraged by the leadership around me and by the church to really grow into this. And so I think, you know, I would encourage all of you on your journey. Don't be too concerned about getting it wrong at times. It's taken me quite a while, really. And I think part of the journey for me has actually been in accepting, I'm going to say accepting myself, and actually trusting myself that when God speaks, I do hear. Because I, you know, there may be some of you who might relate to this, but you might go, you know, no, God couldn't use me. God wouldn't ever use me. He wouldn't want Simon to do anything. And it's taken quite a while actually to get to to that place of acceptance that actually, yeah, I'm actually secure in my relationship with God to be able to do that now. And that's taken a while. I must say it's taken a while. So be encouraged. Do be encouraged.
I just wondered at all, do you have a prophetic word at the moment you just want to give? Or is it waiting a time?
Go on.
Okay, go for it, Simon.
That's called being put on the spot. Funny enough, I was getting really nervous about this. I had the day off from work today, and I was sitting at home, sitting in the garden, just trying to, you know, get some space and listen. Let's go with this. Can I just ask, is there anybody here who's got connection with the building trade at all? Anybody connected to the building trade? Right, Yes? Sorry, can I ask what your name is?
Peter,
right. Okay, Peter. I just felt God say to me that for somebody with a connection to the building trade, and this may sound really obvious, but just to share with you that God wants to build into you a real boldness in the prophetic, and I'll come back to that word confidence again, to have real confidence in listening to what God is saying to you, but to have the boldness to move on from the hearing to the sharing it, okay? And that can sometimes be quite a step. But be encouraged that you're hearing from God and have the boldness to move in to what you're hearing him say, to share. Okay? I'm so glad you're here for that. Please. I was thinking I was just going to rest my case, I get it wrong. But so be encouraged. I did have some other words as well, but I think they may be for...
A bit later.
I found God was talking to me as I was coming down the A14 tonight, which is... I kind of think that's his sense of humour sometimes, because I'm not blessed with the greatest memory. And I'm driving along thinking, I'm never going to remember these. and I'm a great one, because my memory's so poor, I have to write things down. So I found myself actually pulling over at some stage and just scribbling some notes down. But perhaps share those later on, if that's okay.
Yeah, okay. Let me just ask you, one question, Simon. Because another gifting that I know you have, and that's not for tonight, but... Because I've heard you do this, you've got a gift in terms of interpretation of tongues. That's not the subject for tonight, but Norman Blows, who pastors our church, I would say Norman has not got simply a gift of speaking in tongues. He's got a ministry. And when he speaks out in a tongue, you just sense the Spirit of God. And it's very interesting how these are all connected areas, but Simon's, gifted in interpretation. But the other thing, what I really wanted to say when I'm talking to you right now, Simon, I know sometimes when you get a word, you send it by text, don't you?
Yeah. I almost always will try to, if I've been given a word for somebody, or if I get an interpretation, I will try as hard as I can to get it written down and shared with the person. Particularly when if I'm giving a word to somebody, because I feel it's really important. A, for the person to be able to reflect on, And I always encourage them to weigh that word. And if they're able to share it with somebody that they trust to pray it through together. But I think it's really quite valuable for people on their Christian journey, actually, to sometimes just be able to look back and reflect on where they've been with God. And to be able to have that encouragement, actually, to say that, yeah, God, you spoke to me then, and I'm able to see the path that you have led me since then. So, you know, it can be like milestones or waypoints in people's lives, just to be able to reflect. But, you know, like I said, I can get it wrong. So it's really important for people to weigh what I might share with them and pray it through. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very important. Just keeping a note of it. Now, if we were going to tonight, and we're not, but not on this occasion anyway, just to prophesy, because another good friend here, Nick, if we were going to prophesy with everyone, and I know there are other, you know, prophetic people here, we would record it on a little machine. You know, I think that's quite important. If maybe God will lead you as a church to have a prophetic group, I don't know. But a group that want to go into this a little bit further. I would encourage you to record what you say. Now, most of what we're saying here is being recorded anyway. That is very, very important. I've got tapes, cassette tapes at home of various places that I've been to where people have prophesied over me. And not all the time, obviously, but once a year or whatever, I may dig them out and just play them. Because why do I do that? If they've not been fulfilled, I'm not going to play games with God, manipulate him to make it happen. But if, as years ago, I had a prophecy and the brother prophesying over me, it was in fact, somebody mentioned his name, Larry, say it again.
Larry Randolph.
Yes, Larry Randolph. Just his name just went. Yeah, Larry. You know, I got a tape. I mean, Larry prophesied over me 25 years ago, or something like that, when I knew him a bit, and he said at the time, you know, you will be a leader of men. Well, if I was going to constantly pursue, you know, lonely pursuits, that was unlikely. So I did at least put myself where I would meet guys. You know, I would, you know, just meet people. You know what I mean? I thought, well, I'm never going to do this if I, you know, isolate myself. So I just put myself in a place where I would meet people. And that's just a very simple thing. But that's how we can work with a prophecy. You know what I mean? God will fulfill it. And, I just want to say with Trevor and Terry and others here tonight, whatever you do, don't give God a help. I don't know about the other guys here, but I have done that. And it took a long time to sort out. And God took me aside and said, John, can we do things my way, in my timing? Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. That's good what Simon said tonight. It's good. We need to be humble. You know, we see through a glass darkly, etc., etc. Okay. What we're going to do now, Brian, my good friend, we're going to, have you all got a piece of paper there or a pen? We're going to listen to a piece of music, okay? Some of you may be very familiar with this piece of music, others not. It doesn't matter. What I'd like you to do, please, is to write down what God's saying to you. Let me, just before, Brian, can we hold it for a second?
Yes.
Father, I just pray that as we play this piece of music, Lord, that you would just begin to release us into things that
you might be saying, Lord, give us attentive ears as we begin to do this exercise. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to play the music, and then we'll share for a few moments what people thought. And, you know, Beth, don't you worry. No one will get anything wrong. It's okay. We all have different thoughts. So where we go.
I don't do this very often, but as you know, but before the words started and that gentle piece of music by way of introduction, I got a picture of walking, gently walking as the music started. And then I felt that the music was called The Walk. And then, of course, as the words unfolded, it was about Jesus walking on the Via Dolorosa, walking to his suffering, walking to the cross. And I had this overwhelming image of his submission to God's will, his obedience to the Father, and his walk, the walk of Jesus to his destiny. He came to do this. And then a verse came to mind in Isaiah 53 that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. And just to me, that music evoked to me the complete surrender of our Lord, complete obedience to the Father's will, the walk.
Thanks so much, John. Anyone else?
Yeah, lady here. Yeah. Just keep passing the mic round. We'll do this quickly, you know.
It's a beautiful piece of music, and I could just see people dancing and raising their arms up and swaying and crouching. And it was just beautiful. That's what I saw, just people dancing, swaying on a space.
Okay.
That's it.
So you said just so. Okay. Who's going to go? Okay.
I got a daydream. It reminded me of a dream that I had many months ago, and it was about Easter time. And the dream was actually taking me through the streets to Jesus' death. It was so vivid. I remember I could dream. I was crying right the way through it. I could see the handprint going on the wall where he stumbled. Mm. Saw him going through arches, and he was just struggling to carry the cross member. It was just tremendous. Mm-hmm.
Someone else, keep passing the mic. Somebody behind you, on the left, lady over the. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, mine was that turning away from God, but He is always there for you. There is hope with the cross. Come, you who were heavily burdened. And I will give you peace, rest.
That's lovely, yeah. Lady in white at the back there, yeah, okay.
Well, I saw the Lord suffering terrible emotions, pain, anguish, torture, and sadness. And this was for all mankind.
That's great, sure.
I had the colour blue, perfect love, rivers ever deeper, humble glory. He that believeth in me, consider my ways. Love is perfect, retribution is mine. Give peace, for you are the peacemaker.
Yes.
God's heart is bleeding as he sees his children turn away. The sorrow he feels even today as he watches over those he created turn to other gods, other desires. He urges his children to pray for the lost, to see what he sees, feel what he feels, his compassion for those who have gone astray. He is there for them as he is always there, by their side as he is by ours.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, the blue shirt. Thank you.
At the beginning of the music, while the music was rising to that crescendo, I got the distinct feeling of rising and soaring and gliding, as you meant, you referred earlier on to rising on wings like eagles, yeah?
Yeah.
Looking down in the world. And I believe there's a message here for more than one person in this room, that this is a time of choice. Now is the time to follow the path God has given you. And in brackets, just like the baby eagle, when it's fully fledged, has to leave the nest, so to speak, in order to fly, in order to soar. Now is the time for more than one person here to take a leap of faith. Don't hold back. Take that scary first step. Let God lead you along the road he has chosen for you. He will not let you fall. That's for more than one person in this room, I believe.
Thank you. That's lovely. Just passing in to your left, going over there. Two more. One. Peter.
I just jotted a few things down, but basically I felt a strong sense of Father's love in that song and how much he loves us all here tonight. And he wants to affirm his love so that we are very secure in that love tonight, and that we would become a passionate people for him, not kind of half-hearted, but full-on passionate and a developing love that gets stronger. And just the people that are released in gifting.
That's great. One more, shall we have? Yeah.
The word that just popped into my head was destiny. And from that, we are a people of destiny. We're in God's hands. And this is our assurance.
That's great. Thank you so much. Hey, that was really... Okay. Linda, go for it.
It's funny, as the music started playing, I got a vision of a lot of water. And it was rising up very aggressively. And Jesus was walking on it very calmly. I see things more visually. And he was walking on it, and it was becoming stronger. But as he was walking, he was totally calm, and he was totally in control and affirming everything is going to be fine. He created a perfect tunnel. Now, if you have a very big wave and you need a surf, you get that perfect tunnel. And he was walking out of it, and through it, he stretched out his arms, and he just said that he wants to hold us all so tightly, and that he is in control of everything that he plans for every single one of us. And we need to believe in that amazing strength that he has for us. And if we just trust him, he will give us that amazing, unbelievable strength.
Yeah. Well, folks, that was really just so encouraging. It's excellent. I feel so encouraged myself. Wasn't it wonderful what just came out? Go on then. Last one.
I was reminded of something that happened just a few hours ago, because I was coming down to Felixstowe and they changed the train. The train is usually on one platform and they changed it to another platform. So I realized when there was like 1 minute to go, so I was running. So I asked someone who was wearing a uniform, I said, is this the train to Felixstowe? And they were like, yeah. So I started running for it and they were like, don't worry, I'm the driver. Take your time.
Okay.
So I was reminded.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah. So I was I was reminded of that drink, because the reason that God came was to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And so I was reminded, let's remember who we are. We are children of the God who did all of that for us.
Amen. Yes, thanks so much. There's going to be further opportunity. We've got a lot to do. Nick, you've got a word. Just share it. Sorry. We know each other well enough to do that.
This is a word for the local church here, because I read the title of the session, which is Encouraging the Prophetic Ministry in the Local Church. The word goes like this: look around. There is a generous amount of space in this building. No sense of overcrowding appears here. And I feel this is for you as a church. As you gather publicly in this place, I want you to make space in your thoughts for me to plant my seeds of prophecy. As you worship in this spacious place, make space to look and listen for my pictures and words to be planted like seeds of prophecy in your hearts. Just as it takes a few weeks for seeds to burst through the surface of the ground and become visible, allow my thoughts and pictures time to develop and form as you gather together as a local church. This is not only a spacious place, but it's also a safe place, a place to step out in faith with pictures and words of revelation to build each other up and to release the prophetic amongst you.
Amen. Yeah, thank you so much, Nick. That's great.
Thank you. Okay, Rose. Where are you, Rose? You're needed. Okay, we're going to do another exercise now. Rose, just I'm not going to do a card trick. Just shuffle the cards there, can you please? So, Rose is the daughter of a brethren elder who regarded cards as 52 devils in a pack, but don't worry. Just shuffle them up. Just shuffle the cards. Okay. Now, what you're going to do, you're each going to get a card. And somebody else is going to have a corresponding card, and that's going to be your partner for the next exercise. Okay. Where you go, Rose, distribute them. Over there. Start over there on the right. We need to go quite quickly. One card each. Yes, okay. If you don't remember anything else tonight, just remember, don't worry, I'm the driver, okay? So we needed a prophetic word on a... I don't want to waste your time with this, but Rose said when we went home last Monday, you didn't make it very clear about the dots. Okay, if it's been worrying anybody during the week how you do it, it's all written on there and the order. Okay. That's it. Okay. Now, what I was going to do at this stage in the evening, unfortunately we can't due to a technical problem with a DVD, but is anybody familiar with a film called Mr. Holland's Opus? Yes? Well, then I have a treat for you. It's quite old, but do watch Mr. Holland's Opus. It's the story of Mr. Holland, who wanted to write a musical. He just wanted to write a whole piece of music that was to be his life's work for an orchestra, an opus. And he spent his time doing this, but he couldn't make a living doing it. So he had to get a job as a teacher. I'm not ruining the film. And he is so reluctant to be a teacher. He's a music teacher. And the beauty of the film is that his life work becomes his teaching and the pupils that he inspires. It's just so beautiful. The clip I wanted to show you concerns this. Concern a young woman, I think she's about 14 years of age, and she's got beautiful red hair, and she plays the saxophone. Only she can't play it. And she comes to see him in his study, and she's in tears. And she says, "Mr. Holland, I'm giving up. I can't play it. I go home every night, and I try to play the saxophone, and I can't." So he says, "Well, have another try." And she gets out her music stand and puts the music on the stand, and it's really dreadful. And then he looks at her and he says, "You've got beautiful red hair." And he says,
does your dad and mum, do they ever comment on your red hair? And she says, oh yes, she says, Mr. Holland, my dad says my hair reminds him of the sunset. At that, Mr. Holland folds up the music, puts the stand away, and he says, play the sunset. Now, okay, if you're prophetic, that is pretty profound. He says, the problem is you're following the notes all the time. Just hear what, you know, your dad says about you, hear about the beautiful things, and suddenly she begins to play. And I felt, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to encourage you, just have a great evening sometime watching that film. It's so beautiful. And she begins to play. I think the music she plays is Ackerbilt's Stranger on the Shore, which is a great piece, isn't it, for clarinet and saxophone. And she begins to play it perfectly. And I think that's us with the Spirit. I've got a list here of books. I think Beth put them round. Understatement to say that list is by no means complete. There are hundreds. But these are particularly useful. And where I haven't got the publisher, I've put the ISBN number. I'm reluctant to point out one more than any other. But I would just say the ones I've particularly enjoyed have been Graham Cook, Developing Your Prophetic Call. It was out of print, but I think it's back in print. Anything by Chris Vallotton, I enjoy. And some of you would remember Barry Kissel, but Barry was at HTB, I think, and had a wonderful prophetic ministry. And then, if you really want to get in depth, there's a book there by a very good friend of mine, Greg Haslam, called Moving in the Prophetic. These are all great titles. There are many more, but just go around and, you know, see what's available. Now, what I'm going to do, and I really want to conclude with this. I've been married 40-odd years, and therefore I'm quite free to be able to do this. Rose, come forward. Just pray for our marriage after this. Rose, can you... We have a song, don't we, that has really just kept us going. You know, it's been kind of our theme song throughout ministry. And it's all about listening to God's voice. And I'm sorry because I haven't prepped you on this, but you can do it.
Sing it.
Yay! Oh, gosh. I could do with some music. I need my granddaughter here, don't I, to play. Interesting, the word that Simon gave me about surfing the wave. He said you'll be doing things that you don't expect, and some of them could be difficult. Well, it's already started, hasn't it, tonight? Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Be it in a quiet pasture or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul will be my guide. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Be it in a quiet path.
pasture or by a gentle stream. The shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or a valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul will be my guide.
Yeah, thanks, Rose. And you can pick up the second verse, couldn't you? That's prophetic. That's what we are as we aspire to be prophetic, and we're all learning. I've made the choice to listen for your voice. You know, the great thing with Moses, with all the clamor of the sheep, all the demands of the day, he heard the voice of the king. And wherever you may lead, I will go. Amen. Trevor.
Thank you very much, dear brother. Thank you very much, John. That's been a lovely evening, hasn't it? And a very unusual evening where we've interrelated and participated. I've really been blessed tonight. And we want to say thank you, John, and to Rose for coming these last 3 weeks for our summer school of prophecy. And have we got something you want to share? Perhaps, do you want to share something before we close? Yeah? Okay, Simon, come on.
Now, there were just some specific words that I had for some people here. I don't have names, but I do believe I know who they are for, actually. The gentleman here in the blue shirt, again, as I was coming here tonight, I had the words giants, and where this came from was I recently went on a dog walk, actually, around the Trimley Marshes, and we were really enjoying never been there before, so didn't know where we were going, and we literally came through the marsh, and we turned a corner, and all of a sudden the cranes were there, which absolutely sort of blew our minds a bit, really, because it was so unexpected. But what I felt God was saying was about how the landscape just suddenly changed, and I felt that what God was saying, that you will be prophesying into situations and God will give you the words and it will change the landscape of that situation. Okay, I hope that makes some kind of sense. Okay, the lady there who's just come back in. Yes, sorry, glad you came back in. I had this word of transient, and I was just thinking about holiday makers. Obviously, you know, Felixstowe is holiday destination, people coming and going. But I was thinking about prophetic ministry, not with regular people. So it wasn't sort of within the church congregation, but it was actually you moving into more of a prophetic evangelism, okay, and God giving you things for people who you're not already connected with. Okay. All right.
Thank you. So there we are. If the Lord has spoken to you, or you feel an impression that God is leading you and directing you, just hold that in your heart. And as a fellowship, we will want to see that develop and grow and come to fruition. And I really felt Clive's word to us tonight was very relevant. I want you to know that, Clive. And I was listening very carefully, because that was to all of us. So thank you for that. It's been an experiential series, hasn't it, where we've experienced something new and something fresh. And we want to say thank you to John, so we're going to take a love offering for his ministry these last few weeks. I wonder if we could sing a song, Brian. And also, before we close, I'd like to say a big thank you, as I always do when we have Bible school, to all the people who made this such a success, and particularly to Anita in the office. All the printing and all the background stuff, and also to those who did tea and coffee tonight, and that was lovely. Thank you. And so we're going to take a love offering. We're going to sing. Brian's going to lead us in a song. And then I think to close, it would be nice to ask Pastor Double Delight to close in prayer. That is going to stick. I'm going to make sure. Bless you.
And Father God, we give you thanks and we give you praise. How we love to hear your voice. We are your sheep, and you're our shepherd. And you tell us, Lord, in your word, my sheep listen to my voice. And may that be for each one of us here tonight, Lord. May we be still before you and listen to your voice. Listen for your love and encouragement. May we listen carefully, and may we write it down, Lord God, so we do not forget what you have said to us. And so tonight, Father God, for each of us here, may we hear your voice, delight in you. Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name that our hearts may be turned to you more and more to listen and to do your word, that your kingdom come, your will be done in each of our lives, in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.